All right. Good morning, everybody. Thank you all for joining. We've got Bill Shelnut here from Trinity School. We've got some of your students in there, I think, or to the students to be. thank you for joining us.
All the coins.
All the coins are here. Well, just want to get started a little bit and just bring us up to speed about what's going on at Trinity.
Sure. Another great school year in progress, and that's great technology right there. I just reflect on all of the Zoom technology that we bought for dealing with COVID that is now gathering dust. In fact, I'm sitting here, David, wondering what did we do with all that stuff?
The owl cameras
that we bought for every classroom to deal with what we thought was going to be everybody going home for an indefinite period of time, and then what a blessing it was that we didn't miss a single day of instruction over that whole time. Well, we had students coming and going and going out for 10 days and coming back. We didn't miss a single day of instruction because of COVID. And I hadn't thought of that in a while until I sat here and looked at that camera. well, what a blessing. But I want to thank Trinity Church for the support of the school. You know, a few years ago, I guess it's been now probably going on 10 years ago, I was at a school in Atlanta, a Christian school in Atlanta, and we took the kids every year to Europe in the junior year, and then again in their senior year for 2 weeks during the what we call now, when we started this program at Trinity now called the Winterim. And we would go to, in the junior year, we took students to Florence and Rome for a two-week period studying art history, and apologetics in the first year of a capstone course called Our Christian Heritage. And then the senior year, we would go to London, Oxford, and Cambridge, same type of thing. And I still remember sitting in Cambridge, England, we were in a now decommissioned church called the Round Church, which was built in the 11th century by a returning crusader who came back to England, built this church. And so it was a Catholic church in the 11th century, became an Anglican church in the 16th during the Reformation. And then was subsequently decommissioned in the first part of the 20th century and was turned into this classroom. So the church was patterned on the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, looked exactly like it. In fact, it was a mirror image of it. And we were standing in the courtyard, about 20 or so seniors getting ready to go off to college, Moore Thomas, and the students were having a little bit of a break, and they were standing in the churchyard, and I was just watching two students sort of looking at this quintessentially English scene, looking down the street in Cambridge, this beautiful city scene, and said, could you imagine if you took a picture, a snapshot, one picture per year, each year from 1030 when this church was built, until the present, and just sort of made a movie out of it. And you'd sort of see buildings going up, buildings coming down, ox carts being replaced by horse-drawn carriages, by cars, etc. And he said, yeah, that'd be really cool. Wouldn't that be a really neat thing to do? And he said, you know, and in all that time of all this change, the only thing that didn't change was this church was right here on this corner, you know, doing its thing. And then the other boy said, yeah, but it's not a church anymore. And he said, and then I just watched them have this conversation about what this meant to England, that this church was no longer a church. And they sort of got into this conversation I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't instructing. I wasn't telling them. I wasn't leading this. These were just two 17, 18-year-olds having a conversation about the role of the church in this society. Now, we've just been having this conversation about Cambridge and about its Christian past and how, you know, Sir Isaac Newton was in that, you know, classroom up there and all of these things that had been happening, but how the church had been the foundation of it all. And now this church was no longer a church, and the Church of England was less attended on Sundays than the Muslim mosques were on Saturdays, and what this meant for England going forward. And these boys came to the conclusion themselves that when we go home to Atlanta, we need to make sure that this doesn't happen again. So I say all of this to say, so sort of a long-winded roundabout way of saying, there is a difference in my mind between a Christian school and being a Christian school and being a school full of Christians. And the difference is mission. And so at Trinity Presbyterian School, we are absolutely sold out, committed to the mission of the school, and it's the mission that keeps our foundation solid. So at every board meeting, several of my board members are here present to call me a liar if I'm not telling the truth. But every board meeting begins with our board chair talking about our mission. And that's not by accident. We need to make sure that our mission remains true. And one of the things that I'm so grateful for and why when I received this invitation to come here, I said, oh, I get an opportunity to come and say thank you to this church for its commitment to the school. And in one of those very visible ways, we are underway right now with the commissioning of two prayer rooms at the school. You know, a year ago or a year change ago, we completely refurbished and redid our weight room because athletics is an important part of what we do, and we want to make sure that the boys and girls of Trinity have top-notch facilities in order to be competitive in athletics, and building this weight room was important because it's what we do. But the why we do it is equally important. And I think we're going to probably be the only school in the city with not one but two prayer rooms because we wanted to have a space, a sacred space for students to come to be just to have a place, a solemn place where they can remember the mission of the school, why we do what we do is to give glory to the Lord. Thank you for that.
Through the years, I know things, you know, obviously politically and socially have changed, but to speak to the culture now, you know, even as opposed to 10 years ago, and how important it is to stay on that mission, you know, in light of what's going on all around the Christian school right now, you know, outside the walls.
Yeah, I think, I think this is a safe place to say it's been shocking. The seismic shift of, you know, what was fringe 10 years ago has become mainstream today. And, you know, I reflect all the time when I talk to parents, when I talk to, grandparents, you know, I grew up going to, you know, to a public school in upstate New York. And when I tell people that, you know, that they think, oh, New York, oh, goodness. New York, when I graduated in 1990, which doesn't seem like so long ago, you know, my public school had a Christmas tree in its lobby. The Ten Commandments painted on the wall outside of the principal's office. I know because I was there frequently. sat right below them. back and said, I did. you know, now, even in Montgomery, Alabama, you know, what seems, you know, sort of, you know, somewhere else or avant-garde or you know, has become here. And people sort of shake their heads and say, I don't know how that happened or how we got there, but we did. And I am grateful for the bubble that is the Christian school that we are in, you know, where my kids are. You know, and you know, I look at my eighth grade twins and reflect often that, you know, I'm so grateful for their peer group and the common purpose that our parents have, you know, in sending their kids to the school. And I'll take it for as long as I can get it, because I know that they're going to go into the world, you know, in just a few short years, and I want to make sure that they're equipped to defend their worldview, which is a biblical worldview, and that's what the school is doing. So for 650 kids, I get it. It's not, you know, it's not the whole of Montgomery. But for these 650 kids, I know that they're being equipped with a worldview that is true.
And we talked to, you know, the RUF people on the college campuses and what the kids are coming in and what they're, what they believe. But what do y'all do to help equip them in classes or in special events?
Well, every student at Trinity has Bible as a, you know, as a core course. So they are studying the truth, the words, every day. And, you know, we have chapels. We bring speakers in, from around the city, to, you know, and here's the key, you know, to being, a mission school. We have students who come from, you know, all the churches around the city. And we have made it a very, very deliberate thing not to get sort of caught up in denominationalism, and finding common ground, and saying that, you know, we're gonna focus on the things that the 90% of things that Christians can agree on rather than getting sort of tripped up, you know, on things. It would be very easy, for the enemy to try to magnify the sort of divisions that exist between churches. And so we have been very intentional as a school of not allowing that to happen, to focus on sort of a, you know, a Big Ten thing. Not to say that theology doesn't matter. Theology does matter. And so, you know, we are, you know, very much aware of the fact that some of our students, the only church experience that they have, you know, during the week is at the school. Yet at the faculty level, it is very, very important to me to make sure that our teachers are themselves equipped, that they are the living curriculum. You know, some Christian schools have a very prescribed Christian curriculum. They'll go after a, you know, a Bob Jones or Rebecca sort of type of curriculum. That's not our focus at Trinity. Our focus is to hire very strong, committed, and equipped Christian men and women who want to live out their faith in the classroom every day.
I'll jump in there. Yeah. Just as a father, we see this every day with our children. The words incorporated into everything that they do. So, you know, it's hard to describe because it is something that happens kind of all day, every day. It's because you have people like Susan Brown who are, you know, teaching these young people. So, you know, when they're talking about addition and subtraction, they're talking about the Lord. When they're talking about reading and writing, they're talking about the Lord. And it all points back to Him. And it's, you know, and the faculty thing is important because every faculty member who comes to work at Trinity Presbyterian School has to sign a statement of faith. And it's a real statement of faith. And there have been people who have had to leave the school because they were not within that statement of faith. So, you know, that's something that I think if we have, if Trinity Presbyterian School has like a secret sauce, that's the secret sauce.
Well, and it doesn't take away from the fact that the same problems are going to, you know, enter, you know, the children's lives and everything at a Christian school as they would in the other schools. So I went to Trinity School a long time ago. Mm-hmm. That part hadn't changed. Mm-hmm. So I can see how important it is for them. You know, I think David Coyne even, they're the missionaries, you know, mm-hmm. like the ones that are in there, the hands and feet every day. So.
Well, I think, you know, and we talk about it in those terms. You know, we talk about the fact that, you know, that this is a mission field, you know, and it just so happens to be that we're also teaching kids how to read, you know, and we're teaching them math and we're teaching them, but the why, you know, is that critical piece. Why are we doing this? And to glorify the Lord so that we can make sure that, you know, and here's the thing about Trinity School that I think is lost, I think, sometimes on people. When you look at, you know, where they go to college, you know, the sort of, you know, the three schools, you know, here in town, you know, you sort of put the list down and say, you know, where did our students go after they graduated? The lists don't look very different. You know, the thing that's different is what they do with it. When you look at what Trinity graduates do afterwards, there is a striking number of students who, after they finish college, end up going into some field of service, whether that be medicine, whether that be the missionary field, whether that be the number of students who want to be doctors, nurses, preachers. I mean, it's striking. And I don't think that that's by accident. I mean, not to say I'm not sitting in judgment of, you know, actuaries and lawyers, but there's the number of our students who feel called to serve others, I think doesn't happen by accident. And train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Well, I don't think that I had a student graduate last year, Parker Duncan, who had been at Montgomery Christian and then came over to Trinity and was talking to a group of consultants who were at the school to help us with our strategic plan. And he said to Bill Simmer, who was here, he said, you know, it's really hard not to be saved when you go to Trinity School. He goes, it's all around you. It's all around you. It's really hard. You have to really almost want to not be saved if you're going to this school. And he just sort of looked at me and went, like, wow, because you really are living your mission very well at this school. And this is an outside consultant from Philadelphia who came and said, you're just living your mission really well at this school.
Pat, can I put you on the spot?
Yeah.
When you've been at Trinity
for a year,
what do you see as the, I mean, I know this church was, you know, there at the beginning. What have you seen that has changed from then to now, most strikingly?
You know, I think Bill mentioned it. I mean, just seeing how the children, you know, react and, you know, it's more than just going to school with one another. I mean, it's your Christian family, and it's, you know, broad amongst, you know, several different denominations, churches. You know, and it's, I think now there's different walks of life that are coming through Trinity. So, it's even a greater thing to see that happen. I think when I went to Trinity, maybe even when you were there, you know, the children that were there were very, very similar. You know, they, for the most part, came from Christian homes. That's changing, and it's a good thing. So.
Anybody else around the table or on Zoom have any questions for Bill or any of the board members?
Bill, what are your biggest challenges, both with kids and the school in general?
I'll tell you, next year will be my 30th year in Christian education, and it's hard to believe. I know that, I strike you as such a youthful figure. But, over the years, I definitely have seen a change, in parenting. If I was to describe to the parents of today, there's a great fear, amongst today's parents that they're, doing it wrong, and so there's sort of hand hovers over the panic buttons. Want to hit, and I want to say to you, to the parent of the 5-year-old, do you know what a blessing you have in Susan Brown, who is trust her, relax, calm down, listen to what the teacher is telling you, and trust in what we are doing, as a professional educator. I've always said that, anyone who's ever had a kid, thinks they know how to teach, I still remember the car that passed me in the summer of 2020. That the bumper sticker on the window sticker that said, to all the teachers who said my child is a joy to teach, you're a liar. because they were suddenly at home with their child during COVID, and realized there's more to it. But COVID notwithstanding, it is a, there is a challenge from parents to not, trust and to understand that, and I say this all the time when I'm speaking to groups of parents, I'm like, remember, it's a Christian school. It's not heaven. There's going to be things that aren't going to go the way you like. There are going to be things, your child is going to do things, there's going to be problems, there's going to be disagreements, but, to recognize that when we come together as rational actors, and remember, what the purpose here is, is preparation for your child, equipping your child for a life well lived and for a life that is purposeful, not transactional and not, momentary. But to recognize that this is a 12-year process, flipping the child for life, and just, regrounding parents. And I think that's been a challenge. I think that's a societal issue. I like to blame everything on social media. I don't make any secret of that, but I think there's, a constant comparison, with what the world is telling them is important versus, remembering, what is timeless, that's a challenge, not just for a Christian school. I think that's the challenge for the church, is reminding people, what is, what is fleeting, what is momentary, and what is, what is timeless.
Speaking of COVID, the public schools have seen, once they started testing again, a dramatic,
terrible
fall off in delay in learning. Have you seen any of that?
Not at all. I mean, COVID was like the, educators talk about the summer loss, that happens every summer when you're suddenly gone. Well, this was like the longest summer that ever was. And so we had, what we found is that students who were, applying, coming to us who had been in, even in the magnet program and MPS, just simply weren't equipped. We'd be like, well, we can accept you, but not for fifth grade, to go to fourth grade. And they're like, but we've been in the magnet program. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, there's no, there's no pixie dust over your child's head. They're not equipped. They haven't learned math. They can't go to fifth grade, even though they've been in the magnet program and seen it. and been told they're, you know, advanced, they're not going to be where our students are. So now we didn't have the follow-up because as I said, we didn't miss a single day. You know, we had students who might have needed to go out for a week or two, but we didn't miss a single day. But it's really sad to see, actually. Because you took an already hobbled, you know, public school system and you injected the worst possible, you know, scenario to it. And, you know, it's sort of like kicking a man while he's down. You know, that's what we saw.
Questions?
I've got one more comment before we close. Just we've talked a good bit about what's changed today, and you know we've got this great cultural shift that's going on. And you see institutions that are, you know, sliding away from kind of traditional Judeo-Christian values and more secular, and you see it everywhere, and that's, you know, it's in government, it's in churches, it's in schools, and even independent schools. You know, one of the things that Trinity has done to protect against that slide is we actually have a majority of our board membership that is tied to a PCA church. You have to be a member of a PCA church. And that's important, because, you know, you gotta have, and again, we don't get into theological, you know, Calvinism, Arminian, it's not that. It's just, we need a church or a denomination that we know is solid and grounded in the gospel. And as long as you are a member of that church, you know, you can be a majority of our board has to be a member. And then we have a percentage that's, has to be officers of the BCA church. So I think that's a really important kind of structural defense against the slide that is happening in institutions across the country. It enables Bill to go make whatever the hard decisions are with students and parents and faculty, you know, whenever, you know, things, especially with faculty, they're not living up to, you know, the statement of faith that they've signed. He knows that we got his back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to Josh's point, the majority of my career was at Atlanta, and there's not one independent school in Atlanta that didn't begin as a Christian school, and very few of them are Christian schools any longer. And I don't think that there was a pivotal moment where they said, hey, let's slide away from our mission, and let's drift here, you know, off to where we become something else. But that the reason for the drift is that you become unmoored. And when you become unmoored, untethered from a church, I think you do so at great peril, because now you're relying, simply on the good judgment of men. And I think that, my wife would tell me, I love you very much, but it shouldn't be, you know, and the good judgment of men, you know, is not always present. And you need the rock of the church. And this school has benefited very much from this relationship, this long-standing 52-year relationship, with this church. And that is absolutely vital.
You know, talk about that drift. I think a lot of that happens because they want to chase, you know, enrollment.
Yeah.
More money, the money and the money that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, what the question is, you know, when I was board chairman, we had 965 students. Now we're at 650. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be the norm from now on? Or are you starting to see any lower class sizes as
we, you know, enrollment, you know.
And I know that's a changing in demographics in Montgomery primarily. It's not anything the school has done, because all schools are facing that.
That's right. And, you know, and all schools are, you know, in the city are roughly the same size. And, you know, the demographics of the city of Montgomery are challenges. It's interesting. It's the first place I've ever lived. It's unusual to see a city in the South that's not growing. I mean, this is unusual in that sense. That's a bigger issue. But I was asked a question, four years ago now, when I was interviewing for the position. Someone said, "Well, this was the enrollment 10 years ago. This is the enrollment now. What's the ideal enrollment?" I said, "The ideal enrollment is that which can be sustained over time. You can be a enormous Las Vegas hotel, or you can be a boutique hotel. There's no magic, to that. It's understanding your market, understanding your mission, and where this market and mission meet, and that's ideal, and if your market changes, then you need to make sure that you are able to pivot, and I think that's what we've done over the last few years, is to pivot to make adjustments, for the new reality, and say, all right, if we're going to be a, sort of 3A-ish, size school, let's make sure that we are staffed accordingly and make, cuts, adjustments, things that need to be done. It's foolish to bury your head in the sand and pine away for the yesteryear when we had 960 students. If you don't have 960 students, you don't have 960 students. That's all. It's sad. I'd like to have the ability to have for the purpose of our mission to touch that many more lives. But you can't change your mission in order to chase after something that's not there.
Yeah, well, the school in the past had a lot less than even 960. We're starting for 650.
Right.
You were there at the high water mark.
When you go back, into the 70s and 80s.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, you were looking at, 300, 400, 500 students.
The key is...
And the school was strong and doing well.
Right, and the key is, if you... to your point, if you change your mission in order to chase after enrollment, it's self-deceiving.
I mean, the mission is more important.
Mm-hmm. And Bill, just to piggyback, I firmly believe if we did somehow have creep or watering down the mission, I think it would hurt us because we would just be like any other, independent school in, now that there's other Christian schools in town, but there's something about the mission of Trinity and the worldview, and people seek that out by what they provide. So it's kind of, they're not mutually exclusive. In fact, I think with the mission of Trinity, they are together. And
I agree with that. And, but let me say this too. The changes in the city of Montgomery, there is an intersection between our mission as a school and the changing demographics of Montgomery. There's an element of, romanticizing the past that I think needs to be guarded against. And the idea that everything in the good old days wasn't really that good, and to be reminded of the fact that, the kingdom of heaven is not just full of white Republicans, and our mission is a mission to all. And that is, that's important to me. And I think that, when we talk about, missionaries, going out into the world, I'll give you an example. Over this past winter, 2 weeks ago, Anthony Brock, who's on our board, who I think probably some of you know, had a school at Valiant Cross. We came together, and Trinity and Valiant Cross, or a dozen students from Trinity, 10 boys from Valiant Cross, and we came together for a week doing mission work throughout the city. We'd gone to different nonprofits around the city to see what was out there and see this profound need, because for 3 years we've been so focused on keeping people apart from each other that we hadn't come together to be the hands and feet of Christ. And so we're bringing them together and going out and doing this work together, some great that we have these students linked arm in arm, two Christian schools coming together. And I think, that if you'd gone back, 20, 30 years in Trinity's history, that would have been pretty, shocking, and the fact that these kids didn't find anything shocking about it at all and thought, in fact, this is entirely appropriate, I think speaks volumes to where we've come.
Bill, it is very, thank you. First name is Bill?
Yes.
All right. Very encouraging of what's going on at Trinity. Kind of ancient, and I think back, I went to a Christian school, and that was the public school system when I went. So, but I just, thank you for what you're doing, and just Trinity School has made a huge difference, and somehow if we can be a light in Montgomery, Valiant Cross, even the public school system, to think big, hey, it's amazing. Montgomery is still basically a Bible-believing Christian community compared to the world,
That's right.
I think that's true. But, I would like to see us, spread into the public school. And I know that's shocking. We have a new superintendent. Some of y'all know him. But does he have the Christian values?
He's a good man.
He's a very nice man.
Good man. I don't know about that.
If there's any way to, cross pollinate, is that the right term? But I'm very, very encouraged, very blessed to be here for many years and see what the school is doing. So.
Well, thank y'all.
Well, you want to go to the time of prayer, Bible? Will you open it? Anybody who wants to pray? Tom, will you close it?
Sure.
Lord, I just thank you for this time this morning to hear Bill and what's going on at the school. And Lord, just thank you. And from this years ago to have the vision to start a Christian school that still maintains the standards that it was started with. And I pray that you would continue to use it and encourage Bill. And just so thankful to hear about the teachers that love you and they're teaching their children the love for you. So, we are so blessed, and I just thank you for that. So I pray you'll be with Bill as he leads the church. And I know there are challenges when you deal with students and parents and all the rest of it. There are challenges, but pray that you would give him your wisdom of what to do and how to handle it. And, Lord, that we might even see the church grow, the school grow. And, Lord, as we as the church stands behind you. So, I just, again, thank you for this time. Thank you for Bill sharing and just how you have blessed this school. And I pray that you will continue to bless it. And I pray this in Christ's name.
Father, thank you for the people in this room who care about spreading your good news. Thank you so much for this church, and thank you for Trinity School. And Father, thank you for Bill and his leadership, his commitment, his vision for our school, for students under his care. And thank you for his leadership, and particularly with all the teachers there, Father, as well. Lord, as we were joking earlier about the COVID times and teaching kids at home, it is not easy, Father. And just thank you for it's not just a job to Bill and staff and the teachers at school. It is a mission for a Father. And pray that the teachers and everyone on Bill's team would be encouraged and strengthened. And in those difficult times, Father, in the mundane, in the middle of the day, with your lesson, kind of help them to remember and be encouraged that glorifying you and enriching and planting seeds in the lives of these children, Father. Please encourage the children, but you use this, you know, Trinity School to awaken them and strengthen them. For those who know you, that they would be strengthened. For those at school who might not know you, that this would be an opportunity that you would use for the Holy Spirit to come into their lives, Father. I just pray that you would bless Bill and his staff with the practical day-to-day things, but also the big picture vision opportunities that we discuss as well for the church. Thank you again for the work you're doing with the Trinity School.
Father, we thank you for this excellent school that seeks to integrate the Christian faith into every single element of the school program every single day. And Father, we thank you for the 52 years that you have made provision for Trinity Presbyterian School, and just for the vision that you gave Trinity members to start this school, and just for giving wisdom and guidance and direction through the years, as well as providing financially for the needs of the school. And Father, we just pray that you would continue to guide the teachers and the administration so that they can raise up godly young men and women who will positively affect our city and our state and our nation for the cause of Christ. And Lord, we lift up these teachers to you, Shelley Babington, who lost her sister to pneumonia, and Jackie McNally, who's lost her mom. And Lord, we just ask you to comfort and encourage them as they walk through this deep valley, and just give them your peace that passeth all understanding. And I just pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Oh, we come before you and just praise you for who you are. God, you're so merciful to us and so good to us. Lord, you brought us here this morning to sit around the table and talk about your work here on earth and how we can be your hands and feet. We're just so thankful for this committee and the work that they do in this church. Lord, we are so thankful for the partnership this church has with Trinity Presbyterian School, and Lord, to just be there and see the hands and feet of the teachers and the administration and all the volunteers, Lord, people who love you and people who are primarily interested in seeing your good news spread throughout that school and their after that throughout the earth. And Lord, we're just encouraged. Last night I had a conversation with Noah Williams about her plans. And, you know, you think about, Caroline McWhorter, and the work that she is doing for you. You just see the product that comes from Trinity Presbyterian School, Lord. We're so encouraged, because, the work that Bill and the faculty and the staff are doing, Lord, is just working. Your Holy Spirit is working in that place. So, Lord, we just pray that you continue to send your Spirit to do that work there, and that you give Bill and his team wisdom, Lord, as they make the everyday, the hard decisions, even the mundane decisions, Lord, that you would be glorified in everything that they do.
Precious Heavenly Father, I agree with these prayers. We are grateful to you for this school, for the way that you've provided for it over the many years, financially, for the faculty and the leadership that you provided, board members, and thank you for Bill and the role that he fills now, and the vision that you've given him to continue with this school and see it to continue to prosper and serve you in this city, glorify you. teaching students to know you and to love you and to serve you, to glorify you with their lives. Lord, I pray that this would continue. I think of the senior class now in their last semester at the school, and that this would be a profitable time for them, even as they look to the next steps in their lives. And yet I pray that you would continue to instill biblical values in them, and shape them in these final months of their time there. Lord, let your truth, your gospel truth, be the solid foundation for the lives of the leadership, or the board, or the faculty, and increasingly so for the students as they come to understand you. And we thank you again for this time, and even the technology that we commented on earlier. You provide us with many blessings. Help us to be good stewards of those blessings for each of us in this day ahead. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.